Remember now, on Monday, you're going to have a test. Amen. Anybody know what we've been talking about? Had so many interruptions, still, you may have forgotten. Manifestations of the Holy Ghost. We can call it ways that the Holy Ghost manifests himself, or gifts of the Spirit if we're speaking generally. And we're discussing at the moment the three, what we call vocal gifts, or inspirational gifts, which is prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And so we've discussed all of them to some extent. You understand, of course, that I think you could take any one of them and talk much, much longer than what we have, but we just tried to hit some of the high spots. But interpretation of tongues is the supernatural showing forth by the Spirit of the meaning of the utterance in other tongues. Now, all of these manifestations, beginning with the word of wisdom and ending here with interpretation of tongue, all of them are supernatural. Now, the purpose, of course, of interpretation of tongues is very easily, very simply seen. It's to render what was spoken in tongues intelligible to others, so that the church, you see, may be edified as well as the one that spoke tongues. See, because if you speak with tongues, well, you get edified, of course. Now, it's not necessary that everything that we utter in private in other tongues should be clear to our understanding. It's not necessary, you know. If it is necessary, if God so desires, well, then he'll give you interpretation. Now, actually, that's where I first started interpreting was, and understand this, that we had no teaching at all. Not, I didn't know a thing in the world. But I began to interpret my prayers. Some of them, not all of them, just occasionally. And it isn't necessary to interpret all of them. Amen? Now, let's look into this 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians here. Notice something that's very interesting. I'll call your attention to this first. There's not anything said in the scripture that the word of knowledge is available to everybody. That may be manifested, you know, as the Spirit will. Not anything said that the word of wisdom is available to everybody. Not anything in these 12, 13, 14 chapter, 1 Corinthians, or anywhere else in the New Testament said discerning of spirits is available to everybody. There's not anything that said special faith is available to everybody, you see. Not anything that said that working of miracles is available to everyone. In fact, Paul stated there in the end of that 12th chapter that it isn't, because he said, are all workers of miracles? Are all apostles? There's not anything that in the scripture that tells us that gifts of healings are available to everybody. Now, healing is, and the ability to minister healing is, but we tried to differentiate between the different when we taught along that line. But, did you ever stop thinking about it? When it comes to prophecy, tongues, and interpretation, according to what we read here in the 14th chapter, those three are available to everybody. Amen? Because you see, did you ever stop thinking about it? In this 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, he spends a whole chapter telling the church at Corinth, not some individual in the church. He didn't write the letter to John Smith in the church of Corinth. He wrote to the church of God in Corinth. And he tells them exactly, the whole church, how to use prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. Now, we know that he said in the very first verse of this 14th chapter, follow after charity, that's love. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Well, end of the chapter. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Now notice also in this that he said, 31st verse, the same chapter, ye may all prophesy one by one. Amen? Now, We know then, because we studied tongues, that all believers may speak with tongues and pray in tongues, because Paul said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. That 14th verse. Back up to the 13th verse. Wherefore, let him that speaketh an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Well, would God tell you to pray for something that wasn't his will? I mean, he'd be unjust and unfair if he did, wouldn't he? Amen? So then it's safe to say that prophecy, tongues, and interpretation are available to all of us. Amen. So that's the reason, as you go on here, you see, if you'll read the entire context here, wherefore let him speak in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I'll pray with the spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. Now you see, you also interpret that in the light of what he said back up here. The reason that you can pray with your understanding, of course you understand, you can pray with your understanding. But what he's talking here is you could, as the spirit will, you don't just do it yourself. Interpret your prayer, and then you'd be praying both ways with your spirit and understanding too. Amen? Now, like I said, if that's necessary, it isn't always necessary. But you know, I was praying in fact, just holding a meeting in 1963, January, in Houston, Texas, a little full gospel church. And the spirit of prayer just fell on, I mean, while I'm still preaching, on the whole congregation. I didn't ask them to pray. Everybody just got off the bench or pew and on their knees. I mean, I look back across the crowd, there's nobody sitting on the pew. Everybody's either down here around the altar, there's an altar here, around here praying, or else they're kneeling by the pew. So I just stepped down off the platform and knelt there myself, began to pray. A little while I'm praying, I began to pray in English, but I'm praying in other tongues, and I know the whole thing was an hour and a half long, but it seemed to me like it might have been 10, 15 minutes. I got what I call, for lack of a better word, just lost in the spirit. I don't mean you're unconscious or anything, but simply just the time flies by. Well, I don't remember a thing that I prayed, except I prayed in tongues, so I don't know what it was. My understanding was unfruitful, except right on the end of my prayer, I suddenly realized, and I don't mean I was unconscious the rest of the time, because I wasn't, but I just suddenly realized that I was praying in tongues and at the same time going through some motion. I had that finger because I opened my eyes and looked. You know, the Bible said to watch and pray. See, that may be a loose translation of that. But I had that finger and thumb just like that, and I was going around this way, you see, around that circle. Then I'd come back around that circle. Then I'd go back around the circle, and I'd go three-quarters of the way around the circle, back three-quarters of the way, and I'd go halfway around the circle and back. Then I'd go a fourth of the way, talking in tongues all the time. I realized that I'd been doing that for some time when I opened my eyes and looked to see what I was doing. Now, what am I doing? My mind then, you know, began to function and say, you know, what am I doing? What does that mean? Well, about that time then, these words in English begin to come out of my mouth. You are going in a circle in your ministry. And you'll go around that circle, and you'll go back around that circle. And you'll go around that circle, and you'll go back around that circle. You go three-quarters of the way around that circle, and you go back three-quarters of the way around the circle. And you'll go halfway around the circle, and you go back halfway around the circle. You go a fourth of the way around the circle, and you go back a fourth of the way around the circle. Now, see, the Lord had said to me some 14 years before to stay in the churches. Now, he said, get out of the churches. What he meant was, I understood that with crusades, meetings. Get out of the churches. Go to a neutral place. See, after I'd done this for a while, I reached over here and did a little way, made a circle, you know, might have been, 10 inches diameter. Then I made a little bigger one. Then I made a little bigger one. And then I made a little bigger one than that. I wondered, what am I doing? He said, get out of that and get over here in another circle. Most full gospel churches, here's the words that came out of my mouth. Most full gospel churches are fishing out of their own bathtub. And there's no fish in your bathtub. See, we're to be fishers of men, aren't we? Amen? Now, if I do tell you, if you do go to the church, well, don't go hold them a revival. Go put on your own meeting. See, we do that yet. And call it All Faiths Crusade. Don't put any name on it. Just invite everybody to come. Go to a neutral place, hotel, ballroom, so on and so forth, auditorium, whatever. And then that's this first circle over. And then that second circle was all your books, all your messages, particularly the day teaching services, put it in book form and lesson form. And then we had a big reel-to-reel tape, 7-inch reel, and said those day teaching, put it on tape. That was the third circle. And the fourth circle was get on the radio and teach. Well, I had no idea about, had no inclination about radio in any shape, form, or fashion. I realized that was 36 years ago, this past January, you said that to me. That was the interpretation of my prayer. The end of it, not all of it. Well, I immediately began to do what he said do. First, I got over into neutral places. I had some obligation to fulfill, and I went ahead and fulfilled those obligations, stayed with my word. Then I began to book, and had no idea to grow like it would. I began to put the lessons, particularly the day teachings, in book form and lesson form, until here in the United States alone, we're not talking about foreign countries, many millions of books have been published, actually 3 million, almost 3 million in Russian language. But here in the United States alone, in the English language alone, in other words, some of them, of course, go to other English-speaking countries, we have published and distributed 37.5 million. Praise God. I mean, it's beyond your conception, what I mean? And of course, the tape ministry has grown, and we went to our cassettes, and we put out, I understand it's around 40,000 to 50,000 cassettes every month. I noticed we're still growing a little bit on radio. I know we have been on 228 broadcasts. I noticed just looking on the board over at the radio park, we have 241 broadcasts today on radio. Well, you see, you can do a lot of other things, but just stay with what God called you to do. Let him call somebody else. So many times we try to, as the old saying is in the world, be a jack of all trades and master of none. Amen. Praise God. But I just said that to you. Now, several times when it came to ministry, evidently that was what I was praying about, and I didn't know that's what I was praying about. But then you'd have a little interpretation. Now, otherwise, in some other areas, the same thing was true. But if it isn't necessary, let me say this again, it isn't necessary that you interpret everything you speak with tongues. Certainly not. If it is necessary, he'll give you interpretation. And if you don't, well, you pray. Said, let him pray that he may interpret. Now, notice this, that it is interpretation of tongues, not translation of tongues. Now, I know some of your modern translation will read that translation, but it isn't. The Greek word doesn't mean translation at all. For that reason, you'll find, because it is interpretation, it is shown for sometimes a person will speak just a few words in tongues and quite at length in interpreting it. Or vice versa. May speak a long time in tongues and just speak very shortly and interpret it, because all he's doing, or the individual's doing, is just simply showing forth by the Spirit the meaning of what was spoken in other tongues. Amen? Now then, another thing is, like I said, we had no teaching, so I don't know. And I was only about 19 years old, almost 20, and I received the Holy Ghost, spoke the other tongue. Well, I began to interpret some, not regularly, but in private, my own private prayers. Then I received credentials with one of the full gospel denominations, because I was pastor in a little country church, 85% of us were Baptists. And I'd go to fellowship meetings or go to a sectional convention, and somebody might speak with tongues. Well, I didn't know how it worked. We had no teaching, but sometimes, you know, I'd get two or three words or maybe one sentence, and I wonder, well, is that the interpretation? See, and a lot of times, a minister sitting right beside me, he'd set up and give word for word what I had, and then go on and give the rest of it. See, because God won't give you all of it. You don't have all of it. Because if you did, you'd be walking by sight and not by faith. Amen? So I understand that's the way it begins a lot of times. And then a lot of time, right at first. But you see, it's good for you just to be quiet and listen and learn. Amen? And then again, after a while, I'm just talking about my own experience now. You know, you just get these words, one or two words, and like I said, that would confirm to me what I had was right to getting the interpretation. Probably several others could have done the same thing. That's the reason he said, let one interpret. See? Because anybody that's using interpretation could usually get it. That is, if they're in the flow of the Spirit right at the time, if your mind's off somewhere and you think about something else, well, of course you wouldn't. But then after a while, after you began to interpret publicly, and for a long time I didn't, I guess it's a year or two before I began to interpret anything publicly, and then you began to do that, but then sometimes when someone's speaking in tongues, it seemed like you just get you got the sense of it. So you just speak that out, you see. And so I say that to you because these things will work in you, and you need to understand it and understand how to flow. And realize this, that especially at the beginning, that you're bound to make mistakes. That's what Paul's doing. He's correcting them because of their mistakes and abuse here, isn't he? I said, isn't he? You didn't quit driving the car because when you first start to learn to drive, you run up over the curb. That's the reason it'd be better, you see, for you to begin to exercise some of these things in private more so. You know, you start driving the car, you don't get out on the freeway first thing. You want to get out here on the parking lot somewhere where nobody much is there and learn to drive and do different things, huh? Amen. So the same thing with spiritual gifts. You don't need to go to, you know, especially with these vocal gifts I'm talking about. Now, that's one reason that I said, he said, let one interpret. Did you notice that? If any man speak, let's notice this again. Then he talks about the prophets. 29th verse, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge, the other prophets judge. If anything be revealed to another prophet he's talking about, that setteth by, let the first hold his peace. And then he went on to say that ye all may be that ye may all prophesy. See, that there's a difference in prophesying and receiving the revelation which goes with the prophet's ministry. He goes on then to talk about that you may all prophesy one by one, that all may be learned and be comforted. See, there's no revelation in the simple gift of prophecy. He's speaking to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Amen? All right. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now, God's not the author of confusion. So if there's any confusion, and understand that. Of course, that's true concerning any confusion. But remember that he's talking in connection with prophesying, prophets, prophesying. And then he goes on to talk about tongues and interpretation, all that. But he said, or he has already talked about that. We'll back up and look at it in a moment. But he said, God is not the author of confusion. In other words, if there is confusion in context with these things, God's not the author of it. Well, who is? Somebody said, well, Satan is. No, man is. Amen. Because, see, you're operating in spiritual things, and Satan hasn't got anything to do with that. Now, notice what he said here in the 27th verse. If any man... And you understand the word man there means mankind, man or woman. Speak in an unknown tongue. Now understand this, that he's talking about a church service. He's not talking about a prayer meeting or when we're all praying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. Now notice that it has to be talking about the church service, because look at the 28th verse. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. So it has to be talking about in the church, doesn't he? I said, doesn't he? Yeah. Let him speak to himself and to God. Now, if any man or person, man or woman, speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two at the most three. That's not talking about, here's where again folks miss it, stay right with what the Word said. He's talking about a person speaking with tongue, not over two or three persons. Not what we call two or three messages, and then stop. There's nothing in the Scripture about a message in tongues. Well, that's just a phrase we've coined. Amen? He said, let it be by two or three. It seemed that all of these folks here at Corinth were trying to talk in tongues at once. So he said, in any one service, just let two or three of them do it. The next time, some others, you see. In other words, they were more widespread in using tongues than what we are today, evidently. Two or three, now I don't know, but I was reading after one particular minister, and I did know that he was a Methodist minister before he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He had his degrees, and he had studied Greek, and he said, actually, in the Greek, two and three are personal pronouns, so therefore they couldn't refer to utterances, they had to refer to people, wouldn't they? Two or three people. Now, it's like Donald G. said, one of the founders of the Assemblies of God movement, English preacher, you know. Donald G. said, I've been in services where that there's more participated, and I didn't feel like that we missed it. But he said that Paul, or the Holy Ghost, through Paul, is not laying down ironclad rules. He said it's just safe to not stray too far from these general rules. And that, you see, people should be taught, you know, if anything should be said again in tongues, well, one of those three that's already spoken can speak it. Amen. And not the fourth one join in. Yet Donald G. said, I've been in services where together with some prophecy and tongues, that there were seven or eight messages, so to speak. And I didn't feel like we missed God. Like he said, I'd rather have a little disorder and God moving than to have the order of a graveyard and nothing happening. Amen. Now then, notice that he said, let one interpret. Now why would he say, that doesn't mean that just one person always does all the interpreting in the church. Well, the Scripture forbids competitive interpretations. Because remember, you are showing forth what the Spirit's saying. Well, the Holy Ghost has to use your language and your ability. Now he'll lift you to the top of yours. I remember In full gospel circles, a Presbyterian minister had received the baptism. Actually, he was a professor in their seminary as well as a pastor. And he, like he said, like he said to me personally, we were talking, then I heard him give his testimony that he was, he got all of his degrees and he's earned doctor's degree. He's teaching in the seminary, pastor in this church. Come to find out, didn't even know God. Got born again. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, now, he had a command of words that I don't have because of his education. I'll tell you, when the Spirit of God would use him to interpret, I've never heard anything like it. I mean it made the hair stand up on the back of your neck. Just felt like, chill bump popped out all over. Then understand this. By learning to yield to the Spirit, you develop your gift. I believe Brother A.A. Swift, now he was an old-timer, he was an Assemblies of God minister also, but he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in 1908. Assemblies of God never organized in 1914. But I believe he had developed, I preached a meeting for him when he was 72 and I was only 36. I spoke with tongues and he interpreted. Now incidentally, I spoke in an Oriental language. And then I spoke again and he interpreted. And I believe he had developed his gift of interpretation. You know, when I use that, his, it's not his, but you understand, the ability to yield the Spirit, beyond anybody I've ever seen. I believe Brother Goodwin was second in line. And anybody else I know of, I've heard most of them's way down here, where they're way up here. Now, it's just not, you may not understand that, but listen. When you preach, there's a certain element of prophecy in preaching, because when you preach under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, see, prophecy is inspired utterance. Well, any of you preachers and teachers, or any of you, even what little you've done as beginners, know that you're not going to stay on the same level in preaching and teaching that you are now. Yeah, you might as well quit now, because ain't nobody going to listen to you. Not many. But you learn to pray and yield to the Holy Ghost, amen, and your ability to exercise your gift develops. Are you following me? Yes. Same way with tongues and interpretation. Amen. And so I remember this after we got back to the parsonage next door, after I'd spoken tongue, I realized I was speaking some kind of oriental language, but I didn't know what it was. After I'd preached, I spoke, and Brother Swift interpreted. I spoke again, and he interpreted. We got back out to the house, the parsonage next door. I stayed with them, and Sister Swift, you know, we were eating a bowl of soup and talking, and she said, "Daddy, did you understand? Because, see, they went out as missionaries in 1911 to China. Did you understand the dialect that Brother Hagin was speaking?" He said, "Yeah, I understood at least 50%. You know, with my understanding of what he said. But I didn't interpret. I interpreted by the Spirit." And then they sat there and talked back and forth to one another in Chinese because they'd been there as missionaries, you see. And I recognized some of the same words. And he said, "Now you were speaking a different dialect than what we were, where we were." And that's the reason I only understood with my mind. She did too. And they spoke different words out and told me what they meant. Well, you see, but yet he didn't interpret because he wouldn't have got but half of it. He'd been doing it with his mind because he understood about half what I said. But he spoke by the Spirit, explained by the Spirit of God. Now, like I said, a lot of times, that's when he said let one interpret. A lot of times I've thought to myself, when some interpretation has been given, I could have done a much better job. See, remember, you're showing forth the meaning. Or listen to me, of what was said in tongues. But see, I'm forbidden to do so. Let one interpret. Now then, secondly, understand this, in some of these things, I remember when I left my last church in 1949, and I held a meeting first in suburb 2 Dallas, where Brother Tipton, Ken's daddy-in-law, Lynette's daddy's mother, and Lynette's about 4 years old, and I told him later if I knew she was going to be my daughter-in-law, I'd worked on her to do a better job raising her. I'm just teasing them. They did a good job, you know. So then I went into Dallas, into a church there holding a revival meeting. We had no Saturday night services in the city. The pastor said to me on one of these nights, and I stayed in the parsonage with the pastor. I said, "Brother Hagin, we're going to drive out here about 50 miles from Dallas. One of our men here in our church is holding a revival there. And we promised him, we knew the revival was going to be there before my revival ever started, you know. We promised him we'd go one night. Well, of course, Saturday night's the only night they got off. We haven't service every other night. So we're going to drive up there. My wife and I, would you like to go with us?" I said, "Well, sure. One of the men in his church that was just beginning in ministry, he'd go out. He still maintained his job. He'd just drive out there and preach every night. But eventually he went out full-time and has been for years full-time in the ministry. But he was a beginner at that time. He's really older than I was in age, but younger in ministry. And so we're driving out about 50 miles from Dallas to this small town of 2,000, 3,000 population. And a young couple, he went on to explain to me that a young couple that were graduating, now they were seniors. This is their senior year. In Waxahachie, in the they called it South, it's called college now, but it is simply a Bible institute then, you know, and they were going to graduate, you see, this year, but they had gone out beginning of the year to this town that had no full gospel church. And began to have services, you know. I think it started out in somebody's home. There's one person there, one family there. And so now then, they had put up it was still cold because it was March. It can get cold in March, we know that. But they'd been in this little tent all the winter because, you know, they put boards around the bottom of it. And, of course, the tent a whole heap, you know, and they were having church. Then it's going to build church, and they did. They built, I know, because I saw it. Eventually built a nice church building. So this is a new work, see? And this is March, and they're graduating in May, you know. And so They're just students. So naturally, this pastor and I went. Well, they naturally invited us on the platform. Eventually, they turned it to, they asked us to say a few words, and we just greeted the people, let them know we're glad they're there and so on, because we don't want to steal the show. I mean, it's not ours. We don't. He was a singer as well as a preacher, so they turned it to him early. And he played the guitar and sang and did an excellent job. Good, not just a bunch of junk. And he's singing, he had sang for about 15 minutes because he's just beginning in ministry. He's held probably not over 4 or 5 revivals. He really don't have that many sermons yet. So he'll spend about 15 minutes singing, getting people to worship God, and then 15, 20 minutes with a little sermonette and give an altar call, and people get saved and get blessed. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. So he's singing, folks are worshiping God. I'm sitting there along with the pastor I came with on the platform. And you could sense a move of God. And I could have got up and given what we call a message in tongues or an utterance in tongues. But this is the first time I'm there. I don't just go, and push yourself into something. I mean, they have the Holy Ghost. Let them yield. I've seen fellas just go into somebody else's meeting, take it over. Well, that's unscriptural. Other people have the Holy Ghost beside you. Well, yeah, but maybe won't you use me. Well, he got along without you for years. He'll probably some way or another be able to stumble through. We get all lifted up if we're not careful, So I think this man, like I said, he is younger in ministry, but he was older in age, but he sensed God wanted to move, so he just started to stop singing, just everybody sort of praise and worship God for a minute. And so a man over here on the, they're just two sections of seats. He got up and we were actually standing, singing. And he spoke, he gave out what we call a message in tongues. Now I could have interpreted it. I'm sure the pastor standing right beside me could interpret because he was excellent along that line. But see, we don't want to just go in, and take over their meeting. So the young couple from the Bible school, Southwestern Bible School, his wife played the piano. So while this man playing the guitar and singing, she always accompanied on the piano. So she began with the interpretation. She was right on. She had it. I mean, word for word, what I had. And she got probably a third of the way through and I knew what happened to her. She got scared. Her voice began to quiver and she lost it. Well, he didn't know what to do, the fellow in the pulpit, So he started, he waited for a few minutes and nothing was said. So he sang another, or picked up again on the chorus and began to sing. And he could sense that something hasn't been fulfilled. In other words, the Holy Ghost didn't say what he wanted to say. He didn't get over it. So he stopped and we waited a minute. So this man sensed in his spirit that, so he spoke again. Well, really, some of us that were more expert, if you want to use that word, more knowledgeable would be a better word, in the things of the Spirit should have picked up on it, so we won't get into confusion. But we didn't. She started out again. This time she got about halfway through and got scared. Voice began to tremble and lost it, Well, then you have that feeling, you have that spiritual sense that, what the Holy Ghost wanted to say wasn't said. The man here sensed it. He sang another little chorus. And the third time this man spoke. This time I didn't wait. I mean, the minute he shut up, I just grabbed it like that and gave the full interpretation. We went on with the service, had a good service. Afterwards, you see, the young lady, the Bible school student, came to me and said, "Brother Hagin, did I miss it?" I said, no, you didn't miss it. You were just right on. I'll tell you exactly what happened to you. I said, there to begin with, you gave about a third of what we'd call the message. And you got scared. I said, I can tell you exactly what happened to you. You got to thinking about Brother Hagin here, Brother Cook, Dear Lord, they'll know if I'm a missing it. Of course, you get your mind off of the Lord, because it's not coming out of your mind anyway, it's coming out of your spirit. You got to keep your mind sort of in neutral, you see, till your mind takes over and you get scared and just stop. I said, you did the same. And she said, you're exactly right. That's exactly right. I said, I knew exactly what happened. But I said, no, you were exactly right. You gave both times. You gave the parts you gave was right on. Now, there may be a few words that's different, but when you sum it up, you're saying, I think the same thing. But I said, now learn from that. See, we need to be not so corrective, but we need to be positive. Amen. To help people. Now, again, I could tell you about experience after experience, but again, I went to just to preach on a Sunday in a church. I was on the field holding revivals, and I had to come back in home, my home where my mother lived, hometown, I mean, to attend to some business and so on. And so I had this Sunday free, and I accept this invitation to go preach in this church. The pastor had left, and they're without a pastor at the moment. Another pastor's going to come, but they haven't, there's nobody there. So I preach for them Sunday morning and Sunday night. Well, on Sunday night, after I'd preached, see, I sense that the Spirit of God. Now understand, it's difficult to teach people these things. You have to learn them in your spirit. I sense that God wanted to use somebody. Now, I spoke with tongues and interpreted, but and though I could do it, he don't want to use me. He wants to use somebody else. So we wait a few moments, and I just encourage people to yield to the Spirit. And so a lady towards the back of the congregation, just a little small church, I don't guess you had any more people there than set in this one section. I mean, what is set in this one section? Not if it's full. But yet there's three little sections of seats. So she stepped out and started down the aisle, and she's waving her hand, talking in tongues. I said, now, wait just a minute. So she got out here to the front. I said, wait, just a minute. Wait just a minute. Now just stand there and wait a minute, worship God. Now God wants to use somebody. And I said, now if I miss it, you just speak up and say you missed it. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying and get ready to read the next verse then. After, if there be a new interpreter, let him keep silence, or that verse. And so I said, now wait just a minute. You see, nobody said a word to me because I haven't talked to anybody except the board members, and they all three of them know that they didn't say anything to me. But I said, last Sunday night, God moved on you, and you came down the aisle of what, waving your arms, speaking with tongues, and you were correct, and God bless that. So you thought because you sensed a move of the Spirit, he wants to do the same thing. I said, he don't even want to use you tonight. You're not the one. There's someone else. So someone else here began to speak with tongues, and then I interpreted it. See, why we get into confusion, you see, it's not because it's the devil. It's because people don't know and don't understand. They feel the move of the Spirit, and they think, because I did that, well, then I ought to do it again. Now, notice that verse. If any man speak not on tongue, let it be but two, and most three, and that but course, and that one interpret. Now, notice. And if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, did you notice it doesn't say if there be no interpreter of tongues? Because he'd already stated back up there, if you speak with tongues, pray that you may interpret. And a number of people may have been interpreting in their private prayer life. This word interpreter, carries more with it than just interpreter. That's what I was doing. I was interpreting what God wants to do in that service. See where our problem is today? We don't have any interpreters. Are you following me now? Did you get that? See, we skim along the service and miss what God's really saying, see? Well, we need interpreters as well as interpretation of tongues, to be able to interpret what God is doing and wants to do in that service. Now, I don't know. I can't tell you because, like I said, we had no teaching whatever. I had not read one single book. Now, afterwards I did. I began to study and get books on the subject. I had not read one single book on the subject. I didn't know one thing. I'd never heard one single sermon. I'd heard nobody preach on it. And as I look back, I marvel. But I understand this. I was sensitive and was listening. I learned early to listen to my spirit. And the Holy Ghost is in my spirit. Praise God. Amen. But I look back, you know, when I was just 21 years old and pastored, that the wisdom that I had, and no, not my wisdom, you understand that? No, I'm talking about me. But I'm talking about what God gave, you see. I mean, in being able to, and here were people that had the, I was pastor of the church, where people in that church had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they'd been speaking with tongues for 23 years. And I'm only 21 years old. Well, God used me with tongue interpretation, but I know a lot of times that he wanted to move, but he didn't want me to do it. And sometimes I'd know exactly who he wanted to. I mean, one time I said, Sister Brown, go ahead and give that out. She gave it out in tongues, and I interpreted. And later she said to me, well, you know, I knew I had something, but I didn't know what to do with it. I've never been used. Well, I hadn't read anything. I just knew it in my spirit. And some folks would come and say, because very often, if folks didn't go ahead and yield, they need to learn to do it on their own. Well, then I'd just sing them out sometime. I'd say, go ahead. And then other times, I'd just go ahead and do it all myself, because that's what he wanted for that service. And so some of the other folks would say, well, did y'all have that planned? Well, of course we didn't have it planned, you know, because I called on certain ones, you know. I didn't have it planned. What I'm doing is just simply interpreting what God wants to do in the service. Amen? And we certainly need interpreters, not just interpretation of tongues. Now, again, you know, and all of these things may help us or may not help us. May not at the moment, you may not even understand it. But in the process of time, you probably will, especially if you have any experience in these areas. I remember last church I pastored, I went to a fellowship meeting. It was not sort of an area fellowship meeting and not necessarily my area, but I wanted to, because he's a special speaker and I knew he was going to be there, I wanted to hear him. And it was Assemblies of God. So I went. Well, I got there. I purposely got there about 11. I knew they'd start at 10, but the first hour would just be, you know, different things, introductions and singing and so on. I wanted to hear the man that put him on about 11. I got there just a few minutes before 11, went in. By the time I got there, because like I said, it was an area, not a section, the presbyter of that section of the Assemblies of God, he arrived, and he and I went in together, so we sat down towards the back, because, you know, it's pretty well full towards the front, day service, you know, on a weekday. And so the man that was special guest speaker was there, and he spoke, brought a good message. And when he finished, and the person in charge got a pulpit, a man, one of them on the platform really, gave what we call a message in tongues. Well, before you could, while he's speaking, I mean, I had to interpret, I could interpret, but a lady jumped up and she started out. And Presbyter turned to me, because he's right by me, he said, that's not the interpretation. I said, I know it. He said, you had it, didn't you? I said, sure I did, yeah. Well, she went on for a little while there, you know, and I'd say the first, a third, now here's something we need to learn. A third of what she said was no more of the Holy Ghost talking than it was a bird chirping. But then, you see, because she is trying to yield the Spirit, she got eventually right on the message, and the last two-thirds of it was a real message. The rest of it wasn't. Read what the Holy Ghost is saying. But you see, let one interpret. Be careful about jumping up, you know. Just wait and see who God wants to use for sure. Just because he's used you before don't mean he wants to use you again. I mean, not right there. And then, of course, you know, well, see, we're talking about avoiding confusion. You understand how these things could bring confusion. And then again, understand this, that in a larger meeting, it's always better to let those things come from the platform. I've been in meetings, many of them, and sitting back in the congregation, you see, a convention or something, you know, 5,000 people there. People on the platform never did even know it. Some lady got up, spoke with tongue, somebody else got up, spoke with tongue, and just maybe a handful of us right around there heard it, didn't edify. Other people didn't even know anything's going on. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been in a thing like that? Sure. Well, see, that's unscriptural because it's unedified. Then not only that, but I've been in meeting. I don't mean it just happened once. I've had it to happen so many times you couldn't count them. And I'm way over on this side of the auditorium, way over here, see? And way over there on that side, you know, with no microphone or anything, auditorium seat 5,000. Somebody way back there spoke tongues, so I could hear the sound of the voice. Never did understand one word he said. Over half of the crowd, you know, you might as well have been twiddling your thumb, said, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are." Done just much good. Done just as much good. Amen. I never got edified. I didn't know anything he said. And I'd say over half the crowd didn't know anything that was said. So in a larger meeting, it's always best if the Holy Ghost wants to move, and we should be sensitive to it, yield to it, to let it come from the platform. There should be people on the platform that are used in these areas, because that way then everybody hears, you got microphones there, and everybody can be edified. You don't get into confusion then. Well, can you understand that? Now, I could just give you illustration after illustration, you know, we could talk, I think, the rest of the school year about this. But I just want to give you some guidelines. That's about the best I can do. Amen. Let's look at, real quickly, because the time's up, and we're going to pick up another subject after you have your test on Monday. Let's notice something here again. Notice that right between the 12th chapter and the 14th chapter is what we call, of course, that's just us, we label that, we call the love chapter. Really, Paul didn't write a letter in chapter and verses. Everything he said in what the so-called 13th chapter is relative to the 14th and the 15th. You see, there should be a balance between holiness and spiritual gifts. How are they related? Well, if we fail to see this, we'll make some bad mistakes in judgment, both regarding others and ourselves. Now, notice in the 5th chapter of Galatians, gives us a definition of what holiness is. It's not what a lot of people think it is. But in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That's holiness. Christ-likeness in character. Christ-likeness in character. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's what he mentions back there, you know, in 12th, 13th chapter. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Now, did you ever notice that we have in connection with the Holy Ghost two lists of nines? Nine gifts, nine fruit. Did you ever notice that? Amen. Now, what's the difference between gifts and fruit? Well, fruit takes time to develop. It comes because of life within. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches." Amen. Because of the life of Christ in our spirit, the fruit grows out here in our human spirit. Gifts come from without. Usually, complete is given, though exercise by exercise you can come up more mature by use. Fruit comes gradually from within. Gifts come immediately from without. Love is not a spiritual gift. Amen. So then, you can find very often people who have not developed like they should have developed in spiritual gifts can be used in gifts. But they don't have the desired effect. Notice what Paul said here. Though I speak with tongues of men, of angels, and have not love, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I pastored nearly 12 years. Maybe you've been around. There's certain people, you know, that speak with tongues and different things. And I mean, they just have a chilling effect on the crowd. Now, why? Because they didn't have any fruit. They had no holiness. Now, notice, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men, he didn't say your tongues are false. But you're just, you know, I mean, it never affected anybody more no more than if you'd been beaten on a bucket lid. You know what I'm saying, what I mean? No, you see, if you're going to determine in your heart, if you're not going to determine in your heart you're going to walk with God, and walk in holiness, then forget about gifts of the Spirit. You'll do more damage than you will good. Amen. I said amen. Amen. And he went on to say, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. So you see, this so-called love chapter is sandwiched or embedded between these two principal chapters on spiritual gifts. For the simple reason, if you operate them without love, they have no effect. In fact, a lot of times you can do more damage than you can good. Now, do spiritual gifts help towards holiness? No. See, I've seen people said, well, you know, God uses them. Boy, they must be just great. They must just really be spiritual. Did you ever stop thinking about it? Back up in this 1 Corinthians. Read the first three chapters. Paul bragged on a little bit in the first two chapters, said you come behind in no good gift. But he got into the third chapter and said you're carnal. You're babes. Well, they're spiritual gifts, though they had all of them in operation. Didn't make them spiritual. Now, do they demand holiness before they can be bestowed or before they can be manifested? No. Baby Christians can exercise them as well as older, mature Christians. Are they an evidence of holiness? No. Does the personal holiness of the individual affect their exercise? No, it doesn't affect their exercise. It affects the results of it. Doesn't have effect on people. Spiritual gifts can be manifested in and through unsanctified believers. Well, what is the result of exercising spiritual gifts through unsanctified believers? The exercise is powerless and irritable toward others. The one who exercises the gift receives no benefit. Putting it into plain language, just getting down to the nitty-gritty, huh? A Christian who exercises spiritual gifts without a life behind it that corresponds does not make a scrap of impression for good on other people and is only a stumbling block. A Christian who thinks that by the abundance exercise of spiritual gifts he can lack a personal holiness is miserably deceived. You understand what I'm talking about? Amen. Amen. Now, notice that the gifts, even though they're exercised to it, not one word is said about them not being genuine. Understand this can happen. You've got your Bibles, you can read. You see all of the gifts of the Spirit, except tongued interpretation, as pointed out to you, in operation in the Old Testament. You remember Samson? You see working of miracles manifested through him, don't you? I said, don't you? His gift is genuine. Well, he got unsanctified. He's living with that woman. He's not married to her. Being a Jew and with his consecration that he made toward God early, he's not supposed to. He's not supposed to marry somebody outside of their own family. So you know what I mean to say family, a Jew. He's living with that woman. Beside that, he's lying. He lied to her. Yet the gift is still in exercise for a while. What's the secret of your strength? Well, it said, you bind me with these rawhide thongs, you know. She got him asleep, bound him with those rawhide thongs, said the Philistines are upon you. He jumped up, the Spirit of God moved on him, broke those things, defeated those people. But one man, the whole group of them. Amen? I said amen? And yet, in the way we would say it, here working a miracle is operating through him and he's backslid. I mean, he's living in adultery at that moment, isn't he? Huh? And then he's gone to lying. See, one thing will lead to another. Usually you get into those things, you have to lie, you know. Whether you want to or not. Well, his gift is genuine. But the time came. I said the time came that he got up and shook himself and wist not that the Spirit had departed from him. Amen? But if that can happen then, that can happen now. But you see, those things have no effect. So, you know, like I said, they don't profit the person in it, and they have an irritating effect upon those who are not, who are acquainted with the people. So, I've seen people, you know, they're just baby Christian. Paul didn't suggest that these Corinthians, their gifts were counterfeit. He said, you come behind a no good gift. Amen. Now see, there's another side to the story. I was holding a meeting right here in the state of Oklahoma in a church. I sensed God wanted to move. I'd preached. He wanted to use others. I could speak with tongues. I can interpret, but I knew he didn't want to. How do you know it? You just know it in here. Though I knew what he wanted to do, I'm not the one. I kept trying to encourage somebody to yield to the Spirit. They didn't do it. There's a young man. In fact, every pew was taken, and so over here beside the platform, they'd brought in some extra seats. He is over there. I hadn't seen him. I learned later that's the first time he'd been there during the meeting. The meeting had been going on for 3 weeks. He hadn't been there a single service. Hadn't even been to church on Sunday. He got up and spoke with tongues, and I interpreted. Boy, when I did, it's just like a cold chill went over the crowd. I said, wait just a minute. Now, I don't want to embarrass this young man, bless his darling heart, but I have to do this for your benefit. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to have this young man just speak up. If I miss it, all of you just speak up and say, you're wrong, you missed it. I said, now you think that's not God, that young man speaking in tongues, and now then you wonder about me because I interpreted it. Because I said, now I don't mean to embarrass you, young man, but I have to do this. But I said, folks here think that that couldn't be God because you've lived such an up and down life. You've been in and out, more out than you was in. Up and down, more down than you was up. In fact, I said, we've been running this meeting 3 weeks till you come into church on Sunday going fishing. If I miss it, just speak up. He said, no, you're right. I said, besides that, you don't even pay your tithes and you know better. So folks think that couldn't be God. But I said, you're just a baby Christian. Haven't been saved too long, really, to tell the truth about it, and time to grow. I said, now, before you criticize him, why didn't some of you goody-goody people go ahead and obey God? We waited and we waited and we waited. Why didn't some of you goody-goody people go ahead and obey God? Why criticize somebody else that did now? No, don't get your eyes on the pipe. You know, I'll tell you, a lot of times if I looked at the pipe, I wouldn't drink some of the water. I said, realize this, that the Holy Ghost, if you could imagine, now you just imagine the great Pacific Ocean up in the sky over the United States and all that water suddenly turned loose. It's going to run down through every crack and every crevice that's open. Well, the Holy Ghost is that way, you see. And this just happened to be the only crevice that was open, so he just flowed down through him. But you see, you goody-goody folks had it all dammed up, so he couldn't get through you. Well, when I said that, the power of God fell on the people. I tell you, everybody hit the floor praying and repenting. I didn't tell them to. They just hit it because they saw I was moving in the Spirit. Because, like I said, I told about this fellow. Never seen him before in my life. That's the first night he showed up. But folks need to learn. So don't criticize the other fellow. Help them. But right on the other hand, see to it that you, if you're not in tune with God, just keep your mouth shut. Let God go ahead and use somebody else. It'll have a better effect. There may not be anybody there. There may not be an interpreter there like I was, because it said there's no interpreter and keep silent. There may not be an interpreter there like I was to explain to people what's happening. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you understand this. Stand up, everybody. You understand this? That what we've said about manifestation of the Spirit and gift of the Spirit is not the final word on the subject? Amen?
Amen.
And that we're all going to keep on learning? Amen. This is the 15th year, straight year, that I've taught on gifts of the Spirit. I learned some things this year that I didn't know last year. I expect to learn something next year. I mean, if you ever get to the place you can't learn anything else, you might as well go ahead and die. I mean, you're done for. Praise God. Amen. But now then, don't go off, you know, and get some kind of off-the-wall revelation. Oh, yeah, Lord, reveal to me. And go off and leave the Word and get in a mess. No, I'm talking about in line with God's Word. Hallelujah. Learn to yield and to follow Him. Praise God. You're dismissed. Test twin.
Amen.
Amen.